Let's go to the Lord right now. Father, we just thank you that there is joy in the house of the Lord. And Lord, I'm reminded right now that the house of the Lord is not brick and mortar. It's flesh and blood. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you've put joy on the inside of us. And I thank you, Lord, like a well that's full of just the most pure and nourishing water that we can possibly have is resident in our spirit. That's the joy of the Lord. That's the peace that passes all understanding. That's everything that pertains to life and godliness. You've put on the inside of us. And I thank you today that that's resident for us to draw on. And so, Lord, as we learn about praise this morning and then practice it at the end of the service today, I thank you, Father, that you're going to pull out from the inside of us into our natural flesh the experience of our salvation so that we can have all the fruits of our salvation in our lives. We thank you for what you're going to do, Holy Spirit, in this place, in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's quickly review what we're talking about here for those of you that might not have been with us or those of you that might not have been paying attention, even though you were with us. We're talking about the subject of praise and the importance of praising the Lord. And we've been spending time talking about the fact that praise is a calling. Being a praiser is a calling that every believer has. It's not just for the people that are on stage with a microphone or a musical instrument. It's for all of us to be praisers. And therefore, because we're called to praise, we have a certain expectation, like we have in our jobs, to show up, to perform, and to do things in excellence. Amen. And God expects the same out of us when we come together. This is not just for us to observe somebody else working. How many of you know if you showed up at your job and you just sat around watching everybody else work, you're probably not going to have a job too long, right? No, all of us are supposed to be pulling our own weight. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. So we're learning how we do that. And so what we started doing a couple of weeks ago is looking at some of the Hebrew words for praise, because there's actually more than just one common word. Like in our English language, we would use the word praise. There they have a lot of different words. And in all these words, they describe demonstrative actions that we should be doing during our praise time. Amen. The first word we looked at was the word halal. It's actually the first portion of the phrase hallelujah that we say a lot of time, which is praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'll say that again. It's the word for praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. See, we're not just observing here. We're practicing. We're participating. Amen. And we found out the word halal, which is the most common word for praise in the Old Testament. In fact, it's translated praise about 150 times. It describes a lot of the foundations that we need to understand about praise in our lives. We found out that it describes how praising God in truth, amen, praising God with our lives, and shining forth, making a show, boasting, raving, listen to this, acting clamorously foolish or like a madman. Now, how many of you know when we are a part of a praise service at most places we go to, we see very little of that. We don't see a lot of people acting clamorously foolish. And I think one of the reasons why is because we've become a little too stuffy. Amen. If we were to let the kids loose up here to praise God in the way they want to, what are you going to see? You're going to see a lot of foolishness. You're going to see a lot of dancing around. You're going to see a lot of jumping. You're going to see a lot of demonstrative action, not just, well, I love the Lord in my heart. Right? You know, it's like people will say that. Actually, I listened to this preacher, and he says this, and it's really funny. He said, people will come to him and say, well, brother, I love the Lord. He said, bluebirds love the Lord. Well, I go to church. Mice go to church. Amen. You know, it doesn't matter just because we're physically present. We actually need to participate with all of our heart. Amen. And so halal teaches us how that's done. That we are shining forth. Not that we're trying to have attention drawn to us, but when you do it right, you will get some attention. Because why? You're going to stand out. You will be considered radical when you praise the Lord like that. And like our brother Tim, you saw him get up the front, and that was a stretch for him this morning. You got to understand that. And I told him, whatever you do today, I'm going to do it with you. Praise God. And we should be doing that, encouraging one another to get free, to get loose, to praise the Lord with all our heart. So go back and listen to that teaching on halal, which teaches us a lot of these foundational things. But then last week we looked at another word, todah, which is the word that's describing thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and praise, amen. And so appropriately enough, on the week of Thanksgiving, we were studying how important it is that we come before His presence with thanksgiving, that we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. In other words, it's the appropriate and honorable way to approach a king. You don't just kind of mosey on in there with some dignitary and just, well, you know, I just belong here and it's just casual. No, you have the utmost respect for the one that has given you your life. Amen? And so you're thankful. You're genuinely thanking the Lord. So we looked at how thanksgiving plays a role in this whole praise thing, that it is the way you enter into His gates. In other words, it's the first step you make into the presence of the Lord. You start off being thankful. And what the Bible teaches us in Psalm 69 and verse 30, that we magnify Him with what? Todah, thanksgiving. Amen. So as I'm thankful, what happens? God becomes bigger in my sight. And I'm telling you, this right here will set you free if you understand this one truth. Because how many of you know we go through things in life where mountains come before us, obstacles come before us, our flesh doesn't feel it, our emotions aren't necessarily there, we've got circumstances coming against us, so what are you going to do when those things happen? Are you just going to go into them focused on the mountain? Well, you'll sink if you do that. But if you want to walk on the water of joy, you start off thanking the Lord for everything He has done, is doing, and will continue to do. Amen? If you live your life that way, I promise you, you'll come and thank me. Because you'll stay full of the joy of the Lord. Amen. Now this week, I want us to move into another word. It's actually the root word for todah. And we're going to kind of bounce off of this word, and by the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to look at some things that's going to answer some questions for us. And the question is, why y'all do that? Why y'all do that? In other words, have you ever gone to a church like this one that's considered a charismatic, maybe a Pentecostal type church, and you see people doing some stuff that you're like, that is not what we did in my church, the first church of the Frozen Chosen down the street. I've never seen anybody move their hands around like that, dance at the front, run around the church. I've never seen a whole lot of that kind of stuff going on. Well, how many of you know we need to understand why we do what we do? Amen? We don't need to just do it out of tradition because we watched our grandma do it 20 years ago or something like that. We need to do it because it's the biblical and right thing to do that the Lord would expect out of us. So what I'm going to answer the question of today is, why we do the things we do during praise. And we're going to start with the word yada. It's spelled Y-A-D-A-H. It's actually the root word, like I said, for the word todah, for thanksgiving type of praise. And this word is really important. When you look it up, it's interesting because if you recall, the word todah describes extended hands in thanksgiving and giving thanks to the Lord, right? Well, yada has a lot of the same meaning. It means to stretch out or shoot out. Stretch out your hands or shoot out your arms. Amen. Which describes the way one would praise or thank the Lord. So this answers the question. We actually have a Hebrew word that describes to us why you see people during the praise service do something like this. Or something like this. Or something like this. Extending our hands, lifting our hands to the Lord in praise or thanksgiving. Amen. Now let me deal with a sacred cow. How many of you like barbecue? Amen. Boy, we're going to pray for the rest of y'all. Have y'all even had any good barbecue before? Well, let's barbecue some sacred cows today. Amen. Which is, there are people that will say, well, I just don't understand why we need to lift our hands and praise the Lord like that. I don't understand why people do that, and I don't see the significance of it, and I don't necessarily think there's anything to it, so why should I do it? That's the wrong mentality. How many of you know, I don't need to know why a brown cow eats green grass, produces white milk that when churned makes yellow butter in order to enjoy the biscuit? I don't need to know why things work the way they do to receive some of the benefits of it. Amen? And there might be, just maybe, a reason why God teaches us to praise Him like this that actually benefits us, even though we might not understand how that works. How many of you, when you were growing up, had your parents tell you to do things that you didn't necessarily understand why they were telling you to do it, but then you learn as you grew up, oh, now I know why mama told me that. Now I know why daddy told me that, right? We learn as we grow up. It might just be that as children of God, there's some things we don't know. We don't understand. And we've got to trust our Heavenly Father that He's trying to get something to us. In fact, what's interesting about this word yada is when you look it up, the first time it's used in the book of Genesis was when Leah, you might say Leah, I say Leah because I watched too much Star Wars growing up. So when Jacob's wife, Leah, had her third, I believe he was their third son, named Judah, which is another word for praise, that she said, I will now praise the Lord. Because of why? Because Judah is on the scene. Now, how many of you know something, namely someone very, very good, came through the lineage of Judah? The lion of the tribe of Judah himself. What does that teach us? It teaches us maybe that when we say, like Leah, I will praise the Lord, that there's some benefits of salvation that can come through us. Did you follow me there? As I begin to lift my hands and praise and thank the Lord, salvation can be procured in my life. It can be birthed in my life. Amen. And in fact, it's another time it's used, which is something that's very near and dear to my heart, is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's put that one up, Debbie. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I believe it's verses 20 through 22. This is the story of Jehoshaphat. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible. In fact, I wrote a book on this entire chapter. And it is awesome. It teaches us how we can receive the things from God that we need. And one of the telling parts of this story was that the Lord said to him through the prophet, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. Just stand still and you'll see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? And then they made a decision that when we go up against this army, since we're not going to have to fight, let's do something a little unorthodox. We're going to put the praisers on the front line. Not the people with swords, not the people with bows and arrows, not the people with any weapons. We're going to put people on the front and we're going to have them say something. And I want you to notice what it says. That when they went, they said, this is what we want you to say. Praise, and the Amplified Bible says, praise and thanks to God. For His mercy endures forever. The word that's used there at the beginning is yada. So what were they doing? These guys on the front line were leading the rest of the people into this battle with hands lifted high, extended hands lifted up, doing what? Praise and thanks to the Lord because His mercy endures forever. And you know what happened, don't you? The Lord caused confusion to come in the camp. The Lord defeated them for them, and they spent multiple days taking the booty back out of the camp. Amen. All the riches and the treasures were left there, and they received a miraculous victory when they did what? When they yadad. Maybe, just maybe, that's a way for you and I to get the victory we've been looking for in our life. Maybe we need to take the bow and arrow out of our hand, lay the sword down, and quit trying to do it in the arm of the flesh and start lifting our hands to the Lord instead of trying to do it with our own hands and praise the Lord and give thanks to His name. Amen? See, that's what this word yada means. And so it's the reason why we lift our hands. So you got a Hebrew word that describes it. But guess what? You actually got a lot of scripture that teach you in the importance of lifting your hands to the Lord. Let me take you through these really quick. You don't have to turn to them. Just make notes if you are taking notes today. But this is really important to get of why we're doing the things that we do during praise. Psalm 63, verse 4. Psalm 63, 4 says, "Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name." Psalm 134, verses 1 through 2 says, "Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Psalm 143, verse 6, "I will spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land." Lamentations 3, and verse 41, "Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven." And if you need a little New Testament sprinkled in there, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 says, "I desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting." Is that enough scripture for you and us to have precedence for lifting our hands to praise the Lord and the sanctuary? But again, people will just write this off and say, "Well, I just don't understand. I just don't see the importance of it." Well, let me give you some specific reasons why it's important. People, I've come to find out some of the reasons why lifting your hands is important. Because really, it's one of the number one things that a humble person will do. First of all, because God told you to do it. How many of you know the ultimate humility that we should desire to have in our life is whatever He says for you to do, you do it. Even if everybody's looking at you when you do it. Even if people will ridicule you and you don't get it while you're doing it. You lift your hands to the Lord because it's humility. In fact, it's also a position of surrender. Amen. Amen. What happens when a policeman shows up and somebody's maybe stealing something, said, "Freeze." What do they do? Hands are up. "I surrender. Please don't shoot me." Now, we don't have to be worried about God shooting us or anything like that, but at the same time, we need to be fully surrendered to the Lord. And it shows how important it is that we depend on Him. You know, like a little child will come to their mom or dad, and what do? They shoot their hands up. And what is this letting them know? "Pick me up. You lift me up. I need you. I love you. I desire you." It's showing humility. Amen. So there's a lot of different reasons why we should lift our hands. That's just obvious. But I think we got enough scripture. I think we got enough biblical precedence to know that when the praise service is going on, there should be times where we shoot our hands out and we lift them up to the Lord, because the Bible says you bless the Lord when you lift your hands. Amen. Now, that might just be a good starting step for some of us. Some of us, we're going to be doing pretty good to just maybe rock a little bit or lift our hands like that. Make a step in that direction. But there's a whole lot more that you can actually do. And I want to show you a couple of other Hebrew words this morning that'll show you other ways that you can worship and praise the Lord with all your strength. Oh, glory to God. How many of you know sometimes when you go to a praise service, you see people jumping? Have you ever seen people jumping? In fact, your pastor loves to jump. I mean, when I first got saved, I was so set free, I used to jump all the time. And I thank God I went to a church that was free to do that. Amen. I had a pastor that actually backed me up. And I'm going to actually tell him to listen to this. His name was Howard Conine. We called him Conine the Barbarian. Praise God. Amen. He was an awesome pastor, and he would stand up and defend you and stuff like that when people would do that. But he loved for the youth to come and jump. I used to jump so much, my calves got huge, man. My calves kind of look like Minton Williams back there. They're just huge because I was jumping all the time, praise the Lord. Because why? It's scriptural. Amen. There's a Hebrew word, alaz, spelled A-L-A-Z. And while this word's not necessarily translated praise, when you look it up, it describes this: rejoicing, exulting, not exalting, exulting, and to be jubilant. And in fact, when you look this word up, it means to be joyful, but it carries the idea of jumping for joy. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, you're so happy, you're rejoicing so much, there's such a triumph going on that you start jumping. Amen. So you've got scripture to stand on for jumping. But there's another step you can take from that. There's actually some other things you see in the Bible. In fact, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6 again. You know, I've been camping on this a little bit, but this is really an important word. When you look at how David did it, when he was leading the ark back into Jerusalem, what do you see he was doing? Well, the Bible said he started taking his clothes off. And I'm glad I'm preaching on this today, because once we start praising after I get done, I'm going to be taking some clothes off. Amen. And so you'll know there's scripture for that. Praise God. But look what it says. Then David danced before the Lord with some of his might. Now, all of his might, what does that mean? That meant every bit of strength he had was being exerted in praising the Lord. Now, some of us are stronger than others, right? I don't have the stamina I used to have. But at the same time, I got some strength, and there's some things I can do. Praise God. And that's what David did. He was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And let's continue reading. He says, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's wife, looked through the window and saw King David doing what? Leaping and whirling before the Lord. Now that's awesome. The word whirling there is actually a very common word. I believe it's karar. I might be mistaken this word for another one, but that's not really what's important. The fact is, he was leaping and he was whirling. And I was thinking of a praise song that we sing a lot, Lift My Hands and Spin Around. Now I know why they wrote those lyrics, praise the Lord. So, you're spinning around. Now, how are you doing it? With what attitude? With what heart? With joy. Because you're excited about something. Amen? And that's ultimately what it all boils down to. So even if you don't even have all these Hebrew words that describe this demonstrative action, it's basically to be understood that this is describing a person that's very, very happy. A person that's thrilled about something. A person that is rejoicing about something. It's kind of like last year we had Wendell come over and we were watching the Georgia, which was it? Was it the national championship?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. It was one of the games Georgia won. So you'll have to pick out of all those games Georgia's won. It was one of those games. You'll notice I look at Levi when I said that. And when we were rejoicing, when the thing happened, I'm telling you, me and Levi were kind of just sitting there. We weren't too thrilled. We were like most of you during the praise service. But Shannon and Wendell were jumping, leaping, and whirling around. And they weren't saying, well, this is what the Hebrew word means. They were just happy. And they were naturally responding in a joy-filled manner. I wonder how it would be if we all got as excited about the things of God. And we started celebrating like we scored the winning touchdown. Like we won the national championship. Amen? We shouldn't be getting more happy over a football team winning a game than we do about the Lord who already won the game. Amen? So what David was doing here, he was jumping for joy and he was whirling around and being criticized while doing it. Really important stuff to get. Because now you got a biblical example. Now here's the part that I really want to get to today. People will say, and I've actually had people ask me this before, well, what about all this dancing thing, Pastor? Do we have any biblical example? Well, I'll take them to this example right here. And I'll say this. I'll say, you know, the Bible says in the Old Testament that the Old Testament is types and shadows of things which are to come. Y'all familiar with that? So here's what I like to say about this. If the Bible says that the Old Testament, which is what this was in, is types and shadows of things which are to come, if David danced in the shadow, we sure ought to be able to dance in the light, right? We're in the light today. Why should we be doing less than what they were doing there? But if you talk to a lot of Christians today and you look at the majority of the church, you would think something changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And they'll say things like this, well, brother, we don't want any of that emotionalism. We want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. And be dignified like this. No, just because the Bible says that we're supposed to be worshiping in spirit and in truth, that doesn't mean that you're getting rid of all the demonstrative action. Amen? That's just people doing what they want to do or not being excited enough about what the Lord has done. Amen? We shouldn't be doing less of what they do. We should be doing more. We've actually got more than David had. You know that? The Bible says that the greatest prophet of the Old Testament is not as great as the least that's in the kingdom of God. Who's in the kingdom of God today? That's me and you. If we've been born again, we got something better than David, Elijah, Abraham, Moses, all of these guys had. We've got something better. Therefore, we got something better to be excited about. Amen. So there's a lot of different things. I want to take you over to Acts chapter 2 now. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord is slowing time down for me so we can get through all this. See, this is really what it boils down to. Why do we need to be doing this stuff in the New Testament? I'll give you a great example of why, and this is going to lead us into some good stuff today. Now, Acts chapter 2, hopefully we're all familiar with this today. This is when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. Amen? And a lot of times people will describe this, oh, this is when they were born again. This is when the new covenant began. No, this isn't when the new covenant began. The new covenant began after Jesus was raised from the dead. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Bible said he appeared to his disciples in the Gospel of John. And you know what he did? He breathed on them. And he said, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. And when you look in the original Greek, that didn't mean receive the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. That meant receive the Holy Spirit right now. So what happened? That was the moment, because of his resurrection, and they believed on that resurrection, that they were born again and they had a new life. So what happened in Acts chapter 2 was a second work of grace, not the first. And it was when the Holy Spirit came upon them after he had already come within them. Big difference there. So what happens? The Holy Spirit's poured out, appears on their head like tongues of fire, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen? But this is what I wanted you to see, is that when this experience is happening, people heard them, probably saw them too, and what did they do? Others mocking, saying, they are full of new wine. All right. Now, this is important because what they were basically hearing and seeing made them think these guys were drunk. Now, how many of you have ever been mistaken when you heard somebody speak in tongues, thinking that, oh man, I hear that person's praying in tongues right now. I think they might be drunk. Have you ever accused somebody of being drunk on alcohol just because you heard them speaking in tongues? Nah. You don't make that mistake. But you know what? There's other things that can happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon you that can certainly make people think that you're drunk. And that's what I want to get through to you today. How the Holy Ghost, when he really comes on you and fills you up, he will have similar effects on you that wine will have. And that's why I love what Peter goes on to say. Let's continue reading. But Peter, standing up in the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, say it with me, as you suppose. Now why would you say these are not drunk as you suppose? Because he was saying, yeah, they're drunk all right, just not drunk like you think they're drunk. Oh, glory to God. Because the Holy Ghost is likened to wine. So they actually said correctly in saying the Holy Ghost was new wine. Amen. Because he certainly was new wine that they had never experienced before. Now this is really important and something that I hold near and dear to my heart. I know we've got people in this place, like myself, that used to abuse substances in their life. I was a person that I used to go to the bars. I loved to drink. I used to do drugs. I had my favorite drugs of choice, and I had a lot of things I was in bondage to, and I did those things so that I could experience some freedom, so that I could experience some joy, because I hated reality so much that I needed something to free me of my inhibitions. Therefore, I'd go to the bar, which is interestingly called, what a bar is called? Spirits. Why? Because there's a lot of spirits that hang out there. And I'd go there and partake of said spirits and do all these drugs, even hardcore drugs, to experience some freedom in my life. But then, when the day came to where my eyes were open to the salvation that's in our Lord, and I partook of the living waters and the new wine, I found out that I was even more free during those times than when I had a little bit too much to drink in the world. And that's what I pray to God that every person in here will experience. Some of us need a little bit more, one more dose of the Holy Ghost. And we need to experience His presence in a full way that we've never experienced before. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5. I believe it's verse 18. This is one of my favorite things to preach on. I love talking about this because it's been something that's really helped me in my life. You know, when I used to go out and drink and stuff like that, that would be the only time you would ever catch me on the dance floor. I had to have a few in me. You know what I'm saying? How many of you are like that? Hopefully you're not still that way. But what I learned was I had to have some help to get outside of myself, to get free to do the things that I'm talking to you about today. And I think that might be one of the reasons why some of us are a little stuffy. Why a lot of us have a real hard time getting outside of ourselves and really praising and worshiping the way that I've been describing to you over the past few weeks. You know why? We just hadn't gotten drunk enough. I'm not talking about the wine of this world. Don't go out there and say, Pastor Trey was telling me to go drink something. That's why I'm here at this dear liquor store today. No, that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about the new wine. Say it with me. Say, Pastor Trey ain't talking about alcohol. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Look what the Apostle Paul said right here. And do not be drunk with wine. Let me say that in all three sections today. And do not be drunk with wine. In case y'all didn't hear that. And do not be drunk with wine. Now what is this saying? It's telling you don't get drunk on the alcohol of this world. Why? In which is dissipation. Now, a lot of times people will say when they hear stuff like this, it's like, well, it don't matter whether I smoke this reefer here. It don't matter. If I'm, hell, who am I hurting by swigging on this little thing? Who am I hurting? Yourself. The Bible says right here, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation. Interestingly enough, the word that's used for dissipation here has the word sozo in it. What does sozo mean? Saved. Whole. Healed. It describes more than just your get out of hell free card. It describes being completely preserved, kept, delivered, healed, and whole. So it's the word sozo with an alpha negative on the front. And what that means is when they put the little A on the front, it's the exact opposite of sozo. So like salvation should be adding life and creating wholeness. Being drunk with wine has the opposite effect on you.
Oh, yeah.
It will subtract, it will make you, it will not make you whole. It will not make you free. It will bring you into bondage. It'll cost you a whole lot of money, and it'll give you a hangover to boot. But not the Holy Ghost. totally free. Totally no hangover whatsoever. In fact, it has a residual effect. It continues on. And you can stay free. See, this is one of the benefits of preaching under the anointing. Y'all ever notice, if you hang out with me outside of here, I don't do the same things I do when I'm standing before you preaching. I've done certain things, you know, in standing here from this position that I'm like, when I go back and watch the video or something like that, I go back and listen to it, and I say, I cannot believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. Boy, I sure look stupid. But you know what? In the moment, I didn't care. The same way I didn't care when I was full of the wine of this world and I got out on that dance floor. You following what I'm saying? When you're under the anointing, when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you become free. Because why? The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe verse 18, teaches us what? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So when you got the Holy Spirit in more fullness, I have more freedom in my life. That's why you see things in churches that you might not see the rest of the time. But I think we can live that way. Oh, praise God. Now, when it says here, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, which is the opposite of salvation. It's anti-salvation. Back in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he says what? Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Now, what's interesting here is he's talking to a church that he had just said in chapter 1 that you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Y'all familiar with that in the book of Ephesians? He already acknowledged they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, you can go back to the book of Acts and you can see that their experience with the Holy Ghost was a lot like a lot of ours. Is that they had been saved, they had been baptized, they had had an experience of Jesus, but Peter had to show up and say what? He had to tell him, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And what was their answer? The same one most of us was. We have not heard so whether there be a Holy Spirit. How many of you can attest to that, that you've been to enough church in your life and you didn't hear much about the Holy Spirit? You never even heard about Him. In fact, the only time most people have even heard about the Holy Spirit is when you sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost? I don't want none of that Holy Ghost stuff. That's scary. Holy Ghost ain't scary. In fact, ghost is actually a bad translation. It's the Holy Spirit. He's a person. Glory to God. And He's the part of the Godhead that's here on the earth today. And so when Paul says here, don't be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what's powerful here. This is what most people miss. He is likening being filled with the Holy Spirit to being drunk with wine. Do you see that? Don't be drunk with wine. Hey, don't be drunk with the wine of this world, but be filled with the new wine of the Holy Ghost. In other words, God's not just trying to take your fun away. Amen. Well, I'm not going to have any fun if I'm a Christian. I love going and drinking and sipping on a little toddy or whatever them things are called. I like drink. I like having a little bit. God's just, He's trying to help you. Get rid of that and get the new wine. Glory be to God. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. But like I said, they'd already been filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is He going to turn around and say in chapter 5, but be filled with the Holy Spirit when they already had been? Well, you look it up in the original language, it literally says this, but be being filled. Continuously filled. And that's one thing we got a farce in our church today of thinking, well, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 30 or 40 years ago. I spoke in tongues back then. I had an experience with God back then. Well, Lottie freaking die. I can have an experience from 4 decades ago. What's my experience today? Be being filled. Glory be to God. Get full all the time. How many of you had drank something this morning when you woke up? I'm not talking about liquor. I'm talking about water. You drank a little, you right? went days without drinking any liquids whatsoever. No, you drink continuously. Likewise, you drink of the Holy Ghost continuously so that you can stay full of Him. Glory to God. And here's the awesome part. The same way you stay full of wine, which is what? Orally. You have to keep drinking. Your mouth is also the same way you stay full of the Holy Spirit. Look at the next verse. After he says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, be continuously filled. How, Paul? Please teach me and tell me how I can possibly stay full of the Holy Spirit. And being the great teacher that he is, he said, this is how, speaking to one another in what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, glory to Jesus. That sounds to me like praise. I mean, singing in psalms, singing in hymns, and singing in spiritual songs sounds like praise to me. Real quickly, psalms describes scriptural praise songs. Amen. It'd be like reading any of the 150 psalms, but it's not limited to that. Like a lot of the songs, and I'm so thankful that Brian and Cameron choose songs like this that are scriptural songs that actually sing scripture. Those are psalms. Hymns are songs with human lyrics, songs that you write, songs that come to us that we desire to praise the Lord with. Amen. And spiritual songs describe not carnal songs, not natural songs. These are songs the Holy Ghost gives you. Oh, hallelujah. So when I praise the Lord with scriptural songs, with songs with human lyrics, and songs that are spiritual, originating from the Holy Ghost, the more I sing those songs out by first making melody in my heart to the Lord, the more I can keep myself full of the Holy Ghost. That's how you drink of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Now, what does all this have to do with praising God the way we're describing? Well, like I've said already, you've got to get outside of yourself a lot of times. And sometimes you need a little help, and the Lord has given you the help. About three of you got that. He's given us help to praise Him this way, and it is the Helper. It is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Most, the one that fills you up, that gets you outside of yourself to where you don't care what people are doing around you. You'll start doing what? You'll start praising the Lord. You'll start lifting your hands. I don't care what people are thinking right now. I'm just a little too drunk right now. I start dancing around. I'm just too high right now on the Holy Spirit. I don't care what nobody thinks. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm jumping and I'm whirling about. Listen, when the natural comes in contact with the supernatural, something's got to give. And it sure ain't going to be the supernatural. When you come in contact with the Holy Spirit and you get full of Him, He will overcome your natural inhibitions that have kept you back from praising the Lord. Do you remember when the Bible says at the end of one of the Gospels that there was these Roman guards that were keeping the temple and angels appeared and rolled the stone away? Do you remember what it said about that story? That the guards fell prostrate. Amen. Or how about the time when Judas led that entourage to come and arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? And they said, who are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus comes forth and says, I am He. And when He said that, the Bible said they all fell back to the ground. Well, people will say, well, they were in the very presence of Jesus or in the presence of supernatural beings. And that's why they fell out. I'll tell you, there came a supernatural heavenly being, the Holy Ghost from heaven, that's here on the earth today like a rushing mighty wind. So we've got more than enough supernatural experiences going on in our midst. Glory be to Jesus to free us up. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. So if Jesus is here, guess what? You might see some falling down. How about this one? Have you ever seen somebody run around the church? Do you got any scriptural precedents for that? Sure you do. The Bible says over in 1 Kings that Elijah had the hand of the Lord come upon him. Do you remember that? And he outran the king's chariot back into Jezreel. Do you ever remember reading that in the Bible? Yeah, I mean, the Holy Ghost came upon him and he had supernatural ability to outrun the king's chariot, which you had to know the king's chariot was the swiftest, the quickest chariot in all the land. And there was a supernatural ability given to him. Like David said in Psalm 18, when he said, "By the Lord, I can leap over a wall. By the Lord, I can outrun a troop." Why? The Holy Ghost, when he comes upon you, what might be the result? Well, running might be a viable option. Amen. Now, people will say, well, no, there was a purpose for doing that. Is there not a purpose in praising the Lord? Are you not waging a good warfare when you praise the Lord? We just found out from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that when I lift my hands and praise the Lord, He defeats my enemies for me. Amen. So, by me getting free to praise and worship the Lord in all these different ways, I'm telling you, there are certain benefits that you and I can experience in our life. So, without any further ado, we have an opportunity to do that. If the worship team will come up now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. How many of you got something out of that today? Praise God. God is good to us, and He is wanting to get us free, and He's given us the help to do that in our lives, and that is the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, for being our helper and for being the one that gives us all the grace we need. Amen.